flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
That didn't take long. News broke yesterday. Bears are hiring Ben Johnson. Not a surprise.
No.
How Lions fans are taking it? Bit of a surprise to me.
I don't think it should be. I mean, I don't agree with the he's a traitor, or you know, he shouldn't have taken the in-division job, but I'm not necessarily surprised.
There's nothing wrong with taking an NFL job. He's stayed the last two off seasons. I don't know. I feel like people come across kind of bratty. He's a traitor. He's a sellout. He never should. He should have stayed here.
We come across as fans. And it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not going to sit here. If you think he's a traitor, I don't agree, but it's how you feel.
But what is it based on?
Well, it's based on rivalries. It's based. I mean, it's.
Are you afraid of him with the Bears? Not you, John, but the people who see him going to Chicago?
Well, I think some are.
Okay.
Sure, with Caleb Williams and the receivers that they have. Now, they don't have the offensive line. They don't have the run game. They've got a pretty good defense.
I just feel like he's taken the most arrows, and I think they should have run the ball more on Saturday, but I feel like he's taken the most arrows. Like,
oh, I think I disagree. Goff has taken more arrows, and Goff is going to continue to take more arrows.
No, but I think people have conveniently shifted it to a guy who's no longer a Lions coach. They go, see, he was distracted. See, his game plan was a problem. See. Guys, every one seed's going to have their coaches get interviewed, including Kansas City. They had their OC and their DC both do interviews. Guess what? They still put a game plan together. They found a way to win. Detroit didn't. And it's mostly because of Jared Goff. But people don't like to blame Jared Goff because Jared Goff. They don't want to blame Dan Campbell because we all like Dan Campbell, right? We all like Jared Goff. But those guys are more responsible to me than Ben Johnson was. But now it's convenient to be like, hey, good riddance, this scumbag. He left us. He's a traitor. I think it's convenient more than it is accurate. But we want to hear from you guys. Is he a traitor? And how do you feel about him going in division to the Bears? I also think we should talk about what it means for the Lions. John, I think there's a fair question here of how much of this offense is Ben Johnson and how much of this offense is Dan Campbell, and it's going to stay intact. Let's get to the phones. Tim and Lansing, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
So as far as Ben Johnson's concerned, I do see him as a traitor, but it's not because I'm worried about him. It's not because he left. I expected him to leave. It's the fact he went to the Bears 24 hours after that performance that they put forward. You know, I mean,
would you feel different if it was 48 hours or if it was a week later? Is it just that he did it so quickly?
Maybe a little bit. And I mean, I know I'm going a little off the deep end with this, but think about this. He has an interview with the Bears, right? He's in the playoffs with us. He's dialing up J-Mo deep balls in the fourth quarter. Do you think he wanted the Lions to win the Super Bowl when he knew he was taking the Bears' job? I think the fix might have been in. I mean,
if the Bears wanted him, they were going to wait until whenever the Lions season was done,
that,
and they would love to have the coach come in who just won a Super Bowl.
But would that coach want his division rival to have just won the Super Bowl?
He would have wanted to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. He would have won a Super Bowl.
Okay, Tim, I don't understand.
He was going to throw away the entire season and say, I don't see,
John, this is the stuff I'm talking about.
Well, but okay, hold on here.
No, Tim,
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. I don't know who you work for or how much you make. I don't care what that number is. But if somebody came, your number one competitor, a huge rival to the whatever company or whatever industry you work in, and they said, we're going to give you a promotion, give you more responsibility, we're also going to pay you four, maybe even five times as much as you're currently making. You're not going to take that job?
No, I would take that job, but you don't think there's a chance that the competing company is going to say, hey, before you leave, why don't you mess with their software? I'm joking about that. But in reality, I honestly think the biggest thing about it is just the fact he went to a division rival. Like, I grew up a Michigan State fan. I haven't hated a coach like this since Saban skipped out for LSU. And, you know, I think it's the chemistry of the team. It's the way they're built. It's the way Dan Campbell talks. And for one of his boys to go to a division rival, it almost seems like it's an intentional shot at Dan. I mean, I don't see how there can't be animosity between the two. Out of all the places he could have went, he picked Chicago.
Was it the best job?
I think Dan probably said, hey, congratulations, happy for you, and we'll see you twice a year.
Was it not the best job? Right?
I mean, you
and you could debate it, but in his eyes, he goes, hey, I got a number one overall pick on a rookie contract. I get to step in here, call plays, compete. The Raiders had no path to a quarterback, and he may have looked at Trevor Lawrence and said, damaged goods. He's too far gone. I don't know, but if I can't fault Ben Johnson for taking one of 32 head coaching jobs. He had been patient. He had waited through this now the third cycle and took the job he thought was best for him. The response from the Lions fans should be, we're going to kick his ass two times a year. But the idea that, I mean, that's a real phone call we just took. He called the JMO play so they would lose the game.
So, it's being reported. And I don't know that we'll ever know the exact figure because they don't publicize what head coaches are making. We usually hear the amount of years in terms of the length of the contract.
For stability purposes, yeah.
It's being reported by Mike Florio that the initial contract figures are $13 million per season. I don't know that there's anybody listening right now that wouldn't make that jump if they were the OC of the Lions to Chicago for $13 million a year. It was being reported that he was making around $2 million. So that's more than six times what he was making here. I mean, let's use some common sense.
Come on, guys.
It's not being a traitor. It's simply going for more money. Yeah. And it's not being greedy.
It's not at all. You can look at it like this. He came back. He gave us another chance to try to win a Super Bowl. I don't think he self-sabotaged them on Saturday. The J-Mo thing is fascinating. I've seen that play brought up so much nationally and even locally, we had some calls yesterday. That was the height of hubris and getting too cute. Did you like it when he ran the trick plays earlier that game or earlier this season? That was a key part of this offense, was keeping teams on their heels. you liked it when it worked. We're just going to do the thing where it didn't work. Therefore, he's a bozo. Like, I think that's, again, that's lazy.
This is after we just saw one that was a pitch to Montgomery and a shuttle pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown. It was absolutely beautiful.
Or J-Mo's touchdown earlier in the game when Teddy Bridgewater's in the game. They dial up the perfect deceptive play. If J-Mo just throws it out of bounds or eats it, are we complaining that Ben Johnson screwed up? No, probably not. And again, I think overall I wanted to see them run the ball more, feed Jahmyr Gibbs more. But
sure,
the idea that he came in and his heart wasn't in it, or even with the caller said, actively sabotaging is silly.
Yeah, it is. It's ludicrous.
Okay, 248-539-9797. Let's get to Damian in Southfield. Damian, you're on 97.1.
How you guys doing?
What's good.
Great. With the whole Ben Johnson situation, you pretty much hit it on the head. But the thing I wanted to bring up, it's if you look at it, it's the best situation of the available vacancies. You got Dallas, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, New Orleans, and the Jets available probably until Aaron Glenn signs. And it's if you look at it in regards to the pieces they have, maybe outside of Dallas, but I mean, I don't know if I want to go into Dallas. It's the best opportunity. So I really don't blame them. And we kind of got, and like you spoke to, we kind of got to be better fans and like not count people's pockets or, you know, dictate where other grown men go to, you know, make money and raise their families. But I mean, yeah, we can be mad because it's a rival, but that's business, man. That's business. Like it's you well can't said. Do anything about that.
Business. That's what this is. It's a business.
Yeah. And there was a comment on Twitch, and I can't figure out where it was. The essence of it was, love it when people tell you where you should work and how much you should make.
No kidding.
Like, I mean, this is a decision for him and his family, and you're talking about $13 million. Now, we could debate the best job available. And it may have ultimately, I know he brought up Dallas. If you're talking about job security, now they have been overly loyal, which seems bizarre to me for Jerry Jones, but they have allowed coaches to coach longer than anybody else without success and stuck with them. Mike McCarthy was there until his contract expired.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. You got to have Jerry as the GM, though.
I understand that, but if you're just simply looking for money and security and years,
and they got some stars,
yeah, and they have a quarterback that is, I'm not a big Dak Prescott fan, but he is an established quarterback. They've got CeeDee Lamb, they've got Micah Parsons, they've got.
I don't believe Ben interviewed for the Cowboy.
No, I don't
job,
think
though.
He did. Either.
No, that's maybe the only opening that he didn't.
Well,
so,
and some timing. Would argue the timing of it.
Yeah, they because didn't
let Mike go until after the bye week.
Texter says 100%. That caller was right. Ben Johnson was putting tape on video with the J-Mo play. Okay, well, it screwed up and they hired him anyway. Like, I don't think that was him trying to get the... We're going to fight this narrative for days, I think.
We'll fight it right up until Chicago plays Detroit.
I guess so.
So, it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday. I'd say stay warm, but good luck. David's dressed like he's going on an expedition to Antarctica. Kang walked out of here in a parka. What the hell's going on? That glass could take a semi-truck, but it can't handle minus 2 degrees? What the hell's going on in there?
That is correct. It is freezing in this studio.
Now, Kenny, luckily, has the benefit of alcohol seeping through his pores. That keeps you warm. Kenny's like, no, I'm good. David's about to put a jacket on.
It is cold, and I walked in there right before the show.
Was nice and toasty back here, boys.
Did somebody open a window?
It feels like it.
That's from that. What is that? That ambassador rum you drink, whatever the hell it is.
Admiral Nelson. Damn it, get it right.
No, I got Jets on the brain because Aaron Glenn's up on the TV with a Jet logo. Mr. Ambassador hired him. Literally a moment ago, Aaron Glenn is gone. So let's do this. We're going to have a golf conversation today. So this will probably get bloody. We do want to talk a little bit about a topic Rico got invested in with a few callers yesterday, but do it in a more formal manner, which is, which loss gutted you more? Last year, up 17 against San Francisco in the NFC title game, or what went down Saturday night? So we've got a lot to do, but look, here's my question. And I want to see if people are going to live in reality or fantasy land. And that just really is the dividing line in this. So it's bad enough if you lose both your coordinators or one of your coordinators. The idea is you had high-level people here.
Yep.
And they're both high-level enough that they had their choice of job. Ben Johnson, I truly believe any team not named the Patriots, the job could have been his if he wanted it. For Aaron Glenn, at least two of the six openings were his if he wanted it, Saints or Jets.
The Jets didn't want Ben Johnson either, don't forget.
They couldn't get Ben Johnson. Yeah. But okay. So here's my question. You lose both coordinators. You know where I stand on that. But now you lose Terrell Williams, your D-line coach. He's going to be a DC. You are almost assuredly losing one or both of Hank Fraley and Mark Brunell. And you got to be on the lookout now where you're going, wait a minute. In this hypothetical space we're in, I lost my OC, my DC, my D-line, QB, and O-line coach. I mean, it is different when Dan Campbell got here in that, yes, this will be a more coveted job. But you shouldn't be replacing as many as five assistants, including both your primary lieutenants. But if you have to, I don't understand. And this is a question I know I can't ask you because I know you're with me on this. So it's like, be curious. I'm being curious. I want to understand how any well-reasoned adult could call a radio show and say, nothing to worry about. Going to be just fine.
And here's the worst part. You go through that whole roster of coaches you lost. It's a lot easier if you won the Super Bowl because you could say, man's justified the means. Guys, we finished the race. You didn't.
Correct.
So,
and the way I view it, guys, there aren't enough qualified people for the amount of jobs that are available. Okay, there's 32 OCs and 32 DCs. More than half of these guys suck at their job.
Yep.
And there aren't 32 high-caliber OCs available. There aren't 32 high-caliber DCs. Then you get into the positional groupings. So when people, like Rico, what I laugh at is people think the Ben Johnsons are built in a lab. No, you found Ben Johnson only through throwing Anthony Lynn in the garbage, then Dan Campbell admitting he couldn't call plays. And you found this guy that at the time was 34 years old and was this Jedi. Okay, great. The odds of doing that again, very low.
Yeah. I mean, because, no smarm to Ben Johnson, but it was almost, you're all we got, kid. Until we find something else, it's your job.
Is that Kenny without a beard on the TV? I think that's actually what Kenny would look like without a beard.
You're right.
That's Kenny Cott.
You're right.
Live on SportsCenter. Bald Kenny. That's amazing.
With no beard.
Keep going. Kenny, is that you without a beard? This cat on TV? That kind of, I think that's what you would look like.
What are we talking about here?
The guy with the Eagles logo behind him.
You think that's what I would look like?
With no beard.
With no beard?
Yeah.
Babyface Kenny.
No, I would look like that, except like a 16-year-old version of that. I have severe baby face.
All right. Thank you. So my question to the people is this. What is your level of concern as you sit here today? And again, if you choose to live in fantasy land, that's your prerogative. I'm not. My level of concern is a 4 out of 5. You're losing both coordinators. You've already lost your D-line coach. And the odds are, I'll split the difference with you. You're losing one of Fraley and Brunell. So, yeah, I'm a 4 out of 5. 5 means you just don't think the team's going to be capable of staying afloat. No, I don't believe that. 4 means you're not going to nail every hire. There will be slippage, but you're good enough to probably still be a playoff team next year. All right? A 3 would be, look, I lost Ben Johnson and my quarterback might take a step back on its own. But being a level 1 or level 2, no. This is too much turnover. And it is not a finished product. Uh-oh. No, I don't believe that Aiden coming off a broken leg will play 65 snaps a game next year. No, I don't believe Aleem McNeil will start the season healthy. I don't. Hell, I may not see him in mid-October. No, I don't believe magically you will have the fearsome foursome up front. And your D-line... Guys... This is how the league works and why I'm angry about them losing Saturday, not doing the Costa, I will remember you, Sarah McLachlan video. No, I'm not sad. I'm pissed because you only get so many bites at the apple. Now, Dan Campbell's charged with basically rebuilding his entire staff.
Yeah,
pardon me if I don't think that's going to go great, but I want to know what you guys think. Where's your 1 to 5?
I'm at a 4. I may be leading 4.5 if I'm allowed to, because I don't know how Aiden's going to come back to this. I don't know if they're actually going to go out there and draft some players, or they're going to go out and get more fun players. And by fun players, I mean like receivers and running backs and tight ends. Are you going to go out and get some offensive or defensive linemen early in the draft rounds? Man, that's a lot to replace. And historically speaking, most teams don't get better when you flip both coordinators in one season. So, yeah, if things break right, you're at a 4. If things break wrong, you're at about a 4.5 or a 5. So, yeah, you've hit critical mass. This is crisis mode, in my opinion.
And again, please, can we not do this thing of, oh, well, Aaron and Ben would never raid Dan Campbell's staff. Don't. Guys, it's a business. Come on, man. You're moving your wife, your kids. You're moving your life. You need qualified people who are looking for a promotion.
Yeah. And you know what? I've worked well with you. And
that's right.
You know what? You used to do this. Because trust me, it's stuff that they talk about all the time. In the event I ever get a head coaching job, would you mind coming and being my OC or my DC? Yeah, sure. All right. And you've already had that talk. So it's not a big surprise. I'm with you. Dan Campbell... because we said this year, man, he should be up for coach of the year. No, if they could do anything remotely of 11 wins next year, that's your coach of the year. I'm just going to call it early because that means he did a great job filling in a lot of positions.
And look, could you have the next Ben Johnson here? Maybe. Is it Scotty Montgomery? Is it Engstrand, your passing game coordinator? I don't know.
Randall Lale.
Okay, look, throw whatever name you want, huh? My biggest fear, there is absolutely no way Jared Goff will have the relationship with the next guy that he had with Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
And therefore, it concerns me about Jared Goff. Because to get the best out of Jared, think about what you've done. And I like Jared Goff. But you had this symbiotic relationship between one of the best OCs in the sport, mm-hmm. a guy who was well thought of enough that now, what is this, the third cycle, he could have had a job. You lose that, you got to rebuild from ground up. Yeah, will Goff have input on the hire? Unless I'm clueless, which I'm not. Yes, he will. And then the defensive side? If you want to write it off and go, well, Aaron Glenn sucks, then how'd you have a top 5 defense until the injuries really took? Does he not get credit for that? Does he not get credit for 2 weeks ago, the game plan against Minnesota? So, I, again, having to do the idea of, well, this is the system we run and the culture. Rico, you nailed it. These are men. They're not machines. They come in with their own ideas, their own way of doing things. And yes, they all got to work for Daddy Campbell. But you can't just 3D print another Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn.
Right.
And then much less the quality control layer that's underneath them.
Right.
Because, so I would love to hear from the people on this.
Well, Mike, there's a deeper topic in there, but let's just leave it simple because with your next OC, okay, yeah, you work with Goff, but what if Goff ain't your guy?
Well, then you're not taking the job because they're not in a position to move on, nor do I think that's advisable. And the one thing I'll tell people, Jared Goff's contract is going to really trigger. It starts next year, but his cap number in 26 goes to $69 million. Meaning, you're
stuck with him for 2 years.
You're 2 years, but if you redo the deal to not have $70 million on the books for your quarterback, that means he's your quarterback for 3 and 4 years.
Okay.
So I want people to understand that, like, no one's walking through this door and going, I'll take the gig, but I don't want the quarterback. That's not right on the table.
That's why I said I don't want to derail it, but it's just like, what if they end up doing it like Cousins? Like, yeah, we'll pay you, but you're going to sit. We're going to move on to this person. But saying all of that, bringing in all of these coaches, they're coming in with their own strategy. And to think that, oh, well, you'll do everything and run plays like Ben Johnson and do the trick plays. Next guy may not be that type of person. Next guy may come in here and say, you know what? We're just going to run the ball. We're going to learn. Run the ball, play action. That's our offense.
And there's no way to preview it. I'll give you an example. So you look at a guy like Scotty Montgomery. Am I going to hold his failed head coaching tenure at East Carolina, his alma mater, against him? No. But I also can't say he's a genius. Like, people are going to come out and go, well, Ergstrand's, he's just like Ben Johnson. Is he? That's like saying two cups of coffee are the same.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put this crazy, I'm not going to be negative saying they can't possibly have a good hire. They can. But what I don't want to do is separate it now. Because now both sides of the football are going to be in coaching rehab. I mean, these are major hires. And remember, it's not about staying afloat. Can you be better than you've been to win a Super Bowl? Magic 8-Ball says highly unlikely.
Especially on the defensive side, because it's like, okay, what do we have? Because, heck, by the end of the year, I'm like, I don't even know any of these players. 40? Okay, I don't know who you are. God bless you. Bless your heart.
Mo Allen.
You out there trying. So, okay.
248-539-9797. Yes, we're going to have a Goff conversation. And maybe this is the springboard to it. Because losing Ben Johnson, yes, I think it hurts Jared Goff. Yes, I think he takes a step back. Meaning, I don't think there'll be an MVP in his future. I think he's good. But make no mistake, I don't believe anyone will ever get the better out of Goff than what Ben Johnson got. Yeah. And before you think that's me being negative, no, it's how much we think of Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Can't have it both ways. You can't sit there all bricked up that you have Ben Johnson, and then when he walks out the door,
it didn't matter.
That's not how it works.
Did you see the videos yesterday? Ben Johnson in Chicago?
Yeah, going into the practice facility, their main facility, entering to a standing ovation and cheers. Got to make sure we're there to see the boss sees us.
He did the video. Two Bears fans wearing the Bears hat. It just looked weird. Then you see him without a hat too, like, you know, hair combed over, button up shirt, looking the part of a head coach. It was a weird sight. And now he's in the division, and you're going to see him twice a year. We have the audio. This was him yesterday in Chicago.
We all know that individual, right? As soon as he says, this is exactly where we wanted to be, and then somebody shouts out, this is where we want you. Like, that individual corny in the company where you're like, dude, this isn't the time or the place. You want to kiss ass. You want to, you know, bury your nose, then, you know, do it another time. Not in front of everybody else. It's just awkward.
As you took it all in, how'd you feel about it?
I didn't have really any feelings. Like, I mean, I know on social media when he says this is exactly where we wanted to be, it wasn't a shot at Detroit.
Some people take it that way, though.
When he was in his head coaching search, there were, four legitimate options for him, three as he started to pare things down. And if that's what he has to say about the selection or the options that he had, this is where we wanted to be, so be it. Good luck.
Kind of.
Good luck because you're with a dysfunctional franchise. And you could say all you want about the front office and, hey, they've made their mistakes. They're going to learn from them. That's not always true. Like, you can keep making mistakes.
I mean, it could end up being a lame duck GM and
right,
and they got to reset next year. They've kind of built their team outside in, which feels counterintuitive for Ben Johnson, which is you want to win up front to set up all the stuff you want to do creatively, offensively. I'm not convinced it's going to work there. He is out from Dan Campbell's shadow as a leader, a mentor. Dan ran a collaborative offense, as we understand it. It wasn't like Ben Johnson was off in a room with a whiteboard as a mad scientist. It was collaborative. He doesn't have that now, that Dan Campbell backstop. So we're going to find out what he's truly made of. And he doesn't have Penei Sewell, and he doesn't have Frank Ragnow. And we'll see if he can pluck Hank Fraley and try to recreate it in Chicago. But I'm not convinced it's going to work. So I'm not afraid. I also don't have any animosity towards Ben. I don't like the Bears. I want the Lions to beat them twice a year. But this was $13 million. This was a head coaching job. Neither option was available in Detroit. They weren't cutting him a check for $13 million a right. year. They weren't promoting him to head coach. He didn't do anything atypical, right?
Guaranteed money.
Right. That's a great point. When Dan Campbell took the Lions job, it was a couple days after the Saints had been eliminated. Ben didn't do anything. He didn't break protocol. He didn't do anything unprofessional. He's on arrival. And you want to kick his ass, but I don't have any like venom towards Ben Johnson now that he's with the Bears.
Well, yeah, and there's no sure thing. Like, we didn't know there was a sure thing. And certainly when Dan was hired, yeah. Like there's no track record. There's no track record for Ben Johnson either. It's like drafting a quarterback number one overall. You're really hopeful that it works, but there's no guarantee. And more often than not, it doesn't seem to.
I was going
to
say, I don't have the odds in front of me, but I tell you, there's more Jamarcus Russells than Peyton Mannings.
And that's why there's always 5, 6, 7 head coaching jobs every single year, because it doesn't always work.
And Ben knows it. It's why he was selective. It's why he had. And that's the thing. I really do view him as someone who did love it here, chose to stay here, passed up pay raises and title raises each of the last two seasons. This was a job that was too good for him to pass up. So
he did his due diligence.
He did his homework on it. Now, the Lions will do their homework, John. Do you have a name, by the way? I know everybody's looking at the potential options from within, from the outside. We don't know them as well as Dan Campbell knows the internal staff, who's ready for that level of responsibility. But as you sit here today, what do you want? What do you expect? Where are you at?
Well, if we, and I do, believe that this is Dan Campbell's offense, and the base of it. Now, the play calling, the creative plays, whether it's collaborative, whether it's Ben Johnson, all that stuff, we'll find out as the offense takes the field next year and how they're things are being called and, you know, are they still as creative as they have been? But you do want to remain the same. And if it's Dan Campbell's offense, you look back and say, okay, well, who else has he worked with before? Or maybe has worked with Sean Payton, because this is obviously, he learned a lot from Sean Payton in his time with him. And he talks about, like he mentioned it even at the beginning, you know, in our conversation, the last interview we had with him after the season last year, he called Coach Payton.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, got advice, got all this stuff. So Pete Carmichael Jr. is a guy that was a play caller in New Orleans. He is currently a senior offensive assistant, where? With Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. I got to believe that instead of being a senior offensive assistant, he might like to call plays again. I think that's one that Dan will probably kick the tires on. Another guy that has connection to the time that he spent in New Orleans, and that's John Morton, who, where is he? The Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. The passing game coordinator. So I would look for some of those guys to want to take a step up and be, you know, offensive coordinator, whether they have before or not. And this doesn't take into account the guys that are currently on the staff. We've talked about Tanner Engstrom. You know, he's the passing game coordinator And if there's a spot where there's been really nice creativity and rhythm in the offense, it's been in the passing game, the route trees. How does Amon-Ra St. Brown get open? Some of it's on him. Some of it's on the ability to coordinate those different routes. So I think that will be one that Dan internally will kick the tires on as well.
Tanner's a guy who it felt like was Ben Johnson in waiting, at least on the outside. I don't know. I'm sure this isn't a surprise to the organization that Ben Johnson's a head coach. I'm sure they had some idea of, hey, let's start putting more on certain guys' plates so that they may be ready for a potential promotion. I wanted to ask you about Hank Fraley, because you are an offensive line guy. We know this team wins with the offensive line. You've highlighted Hank as one of the great offensive line coaches in this league. Do you think enough of him to where you'd promote him, to keep him, to protect him from being stolen?
So the question remains then, because the strengths of an offensive line coach are going to be in run blocking and play calling for runs, but also obviously pass protections. You got to be an ace at understanding defenses and where the blitzes are coming from, all of those different things. Can he be a guy that has a creative passing attack? And is he able to call those through the course of a game? Those are going to be the big questions. And if you're able to, let's just say you promote Hank Fraley to offensive coordinator, is Tanner Engstrom going to stay on as pass game coordinator?
Can I ask maybe a creative question?
Sure.
College does co-coordinators. You don't see that in the NFL.
No, because you're going to have... even in college, like that's by name and it's promotion and it's salary.
It's more than it is.
But it's also if you have, and whether it's co or not, you have coordinator in your title. The only way that you can leave before your contract is up, unless somebody's willing to pay an exorbitant fee to get you, is to become a head coach.
So, I just wonder, are there protections where you can do co? And if not, here's the other consideration. Could you make Hank Fraley the OC, but tell Tanner you're calling plays? Frank, you get...
Why would you do that?
To try to keep him.
Well, then just make Tanner your coordinator, if he's the one calling plays.
I'm asking the question.
Right, no. So I don't mean to be...
I'm admittedly trying to color outside the lines here. I want to keep as many of these guys as possible, give each of them more responsibility. For Hank, if it's about the title, because you're not going to call plays in Chicago, if Ben's trying to bring you... You won't call plays here, but you'll get the pay raise, the title raise. You'll be our OC. And for Tanner, we'll give you the chance to actually call plays on game day, which is what you'd be getting if you left the organization.
What's the value of keeping Tanner and having him call plays, but not making him the coordinator? You give Hank Fraley the title because you don't want to lose him. You don't want to lose him, so pay him. Yeah. That comes down to what are you willing to pay a coach? Because there's no salary cap on coaching staffs.
Yeah.
But there is running a responsible franchise. And can you replace Hank Fraley with another offensive line coach? Can you replace Tanner Engstrom? If he's the guy, if it's one or the other, who do you want to keep? Who do you want to replace?
And they may end up losing a couple assistants on both sides of the ball.
But you brought up a great point. And you talk about developing coaches on your own staff. It's been no secret over the last couple of years that Ben Johnson has been sought after. So if that's the case, has Dan Campbell, and this should have been going on, has he been developing, whether it's Tanner Engstrom, Mark Brunell, and you would want to be doing this with more than one guy, because you never know who is actually going to hit on that, you know, play caller magic that you're looking for, or Hank Fraley. During the preseason, we always talk about, well, in the second half, we need to see the backups and we need to see this and that. And what do we want to see from Hendon Hooker when he goes in there? Well, it's never publicized. I don't think it's ever been asked. Who's calling plays in the second half?
It's interesting.
Because who's calling plays in the fourth quarter? Maybe, hey, Hank, you got the fourth quarter of the second preseason game. And it's not an envious position to be in, but you get a feel for the rhythm and how a guy responds. Okay, this play didn't work. Where are we going next? Because that next play is coming right now, and you've got to be ready. So what is the system that Dan Campbell has in place, knowing that Ben Johnson could have left last year, could leave this year, ultimately does, and even if he had stayed another year, how are you developing somebody internally to take over that position? And Tanner Ekstrom, did he get some of those play calls? Did he design a practice offensively, a script, to be able to go out there during training camp? All of those different things should be going on so that you are prepared, knowing we're successful. Eventually, our coaches are going to be coveted. Am I ready so that we can have some continuity? That's going to be the big question, is the continuity of the offense, the voice, the play caller. Obviously, it's going to be different. Can you manage, can you keep some of that continuity by hiring from within, promoting from within?
I expect them to promote from within offensively because this offense has been collaborative, because Dan Campbell has been more involved in the offense than even the defense, because he'll have a good idea on who's contributing to those game plans per week, and there'll be a similar philosophy in terms of setting stuff up and what are we calling different route concepts and formations, and there won't be a new language for an outsider to have to come in and adapt to. Defensively, though, I do think we could see someone from the outside. I think they'll still have to fit the principles of this defense. Campbell said as much this week. I know Robert Saleh is a popular name. I think he makes some sense. We got to see Aaron Glenn leave first before that even really becomes a serious conversation. But Campbell's got to have names already that he's ready to consider. Right. Yeah,
you've got to be you always have to be prepared throughout the course of a season. So if something doesn't go right, all right, why is it not going right? Who is the one that's not holding up their end of the bargain? And if it's your DC, if it's your linebackers coach, and Dan has made fired coaches in season and been ready to, hand the responsibilities off to somebody else. So the benefits of hiring from within, and these all may seem very obvious, and I think they are, but it's not just the familiarity with the offense. Now that they have built this roster to be a really good roster, players that they actually want to keep and are re-signing, it's the play caller. How much and how comfortable are you knowing what Amon-Ra St. Brown is really good at? All right. And as fans, okay, he's good at catching the ball. He's good at running routes. But what routes are his best routes? And what does that pair with what J-Mo does? All of that knowledge and intricacies of calling plays for guys to do what they do best. We talk about putting guys in position for success. That it takes time. If another coach comes in here, he's going to have to watch a lot of film on each individual guy to then put together game plans. And there's time to do that, but the process is sped up. The continuity remains there if it's Tanner Engstrom or if it's Hank Fraley or if it's Mark Brunell or, Antoine Randle, any of those guys.
Scotty Montgomery, any of those guys. And I think Goff, having say, is going to have probably a preference from the current staff. And I know Ben Johnson, it was reported, would take out plays that Goff didn't like. You know what I mean? They get on the same page, play to the quarterback strengths, among all the other things you laid out.
And what are the strengths and weaknesses of Goff? And you don't want to have a guy
learning
to come in and say, okay, from experience, I know that he's good at these protections or against these blitzes. He's got a good feel for it, knows where they're coming. He's got a weakness for these other ones. Well, a new coordinator coming in from the outside, you might not realize that until those plays are called in the game, and then it's obviously too late.
248-539-9797. Jim in Linden, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Morning, fellas. Hey, these ungrateful Lions fans. I'm so happy for Ben Johnson. Congratulations. Next man up coaching-wise. Defensively, I think we should go after Antonio Pierce defensively. I don't know if he's already got a job, but I really, really would love to see Antonio Pierce defensively. Have a great day.
He currently is unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And if Dan's going to explore all options. And, it's not like there's, hey, I'm going to go to the search firm. That's not what you do. But again, knew Aaron Glenn was going to be interviewing, knew he was going to be leaving. And so I'm sure during the season, and it's not a distraction, you have to prepare for what is next.
Texter says, I think the right move for Campbell is to act like he's starting over from day one, picking his staff. Don't overvalue your own just because you don't want to lose them. Another texter says, guys, There's so many coaches probably really hoping that Dan Campbell gives them a call about the opportunity in Detroit. So don't overvalue your guys and miss out on getting the right guy.
Right, and that's what we talked about yesterday. These coordinator jobs, working in Detroit, it's going to be a benefit in free agency. You're not going to have to overpay guys. You're going to have guys that want to come to Detroit. It's the same thing with your coaching staff. You have built a culture of winning and of loyalty. And coaches are going to be seeking out if Aaron Glenn leaves. I guarantee you Dan's phone is going to be ringing off the hook with a guy that knows a guy that really wants to be in Detroit.
And he'd fit right in and all that other stuff. Yeah. Texter says, hope Ben loses every game and freezes his ass off in Chicago. Rivalry, baby.
All right. I have a question. I was thinking about this with the last caller. And Rieger had a topic last night. I'm not doing it the way he's doing it. But in the postgame, before we ask Rico's question at 4, with Dan Campbell being as emotional as he was, did any of you guys read into it as more than just season over sadness? Like, now that we're several days out from that game, I'm still left. Like, he knew it was the end of the team in its current format. I think he knew Ben Johnson was good as gone. I think he knew Aaron Glenn was good as gone. And he probably had a good idea several of his assistants underneath that would be gone. And that this 53-man locker room would not be the same. That there are major changes coming. And this is the part, I'm not being slanderous at all, because I think Campbell has done a wonderful job. But it's, I think he knows in his heart of hearts, they blew the two best opportunities they'll ever have. They were up 17 in an NFC title game, and it broke their back. Then they do everything. They put the sign up in the locker room. They put it on the scroller, the date of the Super Bowl. All year, Super Bowl or bust. They earn the one seed. They go 15-2. They avenge all of the grievances. Skipper is eligible. They scored again on the Cowboys. Just bombing people, right? Yeah. And he's at that podium, and he fell apart. And no one cares more about their players than him. I'm not telling you it's wrong to be emotional. It's not. But I just, am I crazy for reading that deeply into it? That I think he knows deep down. No, it's not that we'll never win a Super Bowl or that we'll never get there. It's that we'll never have these two chances again.
Yeah.
And this is going to come, like, it's not always this linear growth, that there might be a step back in order to take two steps forward. So I wanted to ask you and the people, as we get into your topic at 4, did it strike you that way, seeing Dan Campbell at the podium?
See, I think it kind of leads into the topic at 4, because I looked at that as a lot of what you just said. But I looked at Dan Campbell, and he was so emotional because he realized, nobody's coming back. I'm going to have to do this all over again. And my God, this was the best chance that we had. We had it all lined up. Everything was coming through us. We were the best team. We firebombed everybody throughout the entire season, and it ended this way. It was soul-crushing because it wasn't supposed to be to a rookie quarterback at the crib. It was supposed to, if you were going to be crying like that, it was supposedly because the ref screwed you over in New Orleans to Mahomes again, and you all saw it. Not to Jaden Daniels.
No.
Not to the Commanders.
And I think he knows it's probably the best team they're ever going to have.
Yeah. The situation set itself up that and he knew that he took it upon himself. And you know, he's the head coach, but he was thinking, my God, I blew this.
Yeah. And look, again, I'm not putting words in his mouth. I'm only telling you how I feel about what I watched. It makes you wonder, like, did he know? This is a question. I'm not making the claim. I didn't do a good job preparing these guys. They were too overconfident. They were too complacent. The devil's in the details, and we missed every detail. And this team panicked. I panicked. I mean, hell, that 4th-and-2, one of the biggest plays of the game, that is, the blood is squarely on his hands. It goes nowhere else. When you have 12 to 15 seconds to react to something on an NFL sideline and you don't do it, you're in dereliction of duty, period. The 12 men on the field, that was a crippling moment. So I wanted to do that because, as you said, like, it does lead us into which loss was more painful for people.
And it's funny, Mike, because that moment right there, that the 12 men on the field, 2 weeks ago, remember how we were making fun of O'Connell and the Vikings and saying we got them to play out of their system.
Yeah.
They were going for it. Commanders got the Lions to play out of their system and stop doing things their way, and they were trying to react instead of just being the Lions.
See,
and
I
that was one of those moments where, yeah, common sense says just call timeout, but no, because we're going to need that timeout because of later, and you're over there trying to have this conversation instead of just saying, or we just call timeout, we'll have two later, and we still got this offense that put up a ton of points. They got the Lions to just outthink themselves.
By the time they got penalized, I had gone from sitting to standing to yelling timeout, timeout, to then I looked like Captain Morgan with one foot up on the ottoman going, what the F are you doing? Call timeout. Like, I cannot have that series of movements and you don't call a timeout.
It's good use of Captain Morgan.
I'm like, what are you doing? Yes, I was nervous. I get nervous during games, so I stand up.
No, I got you.
The Giants, the Lions, whatever. And it could be teams I don't even care about. In big moments, I need to stand up for these things.
Nope, I got you. I'm right there with you.
Dogs look at me like I'm out of my effing mind, but whatever.
Outpace, yeah.
Yes.
During the timeouts, I got to walk up and down the stairs. I got to do something. I got too much nervous injury. And
you could have done that any time MSU was on offense. You wouldn't have missed anything.
No, I just walked the stadium. I just go from sweet to sweet at that point.
Sweet to
presidential suite.
What a flex. David, a few ticket texts if you'd be so kind. And again, 248-539-9797. The Campbell post game, did you get out of it what I did? And if the answer is no, there's no crime. We're reading into a man's emotions and reading into his words. It doesn't mean that what we're feeling is there. But I just thought it just jumped off the screen and you go, he knows. Mm-hmm. He knows it's only going to be harder from here. He knows that this wonderful staff that cared so deeply that they passed on jobs, they're all leaving. I'm going to have a hell of a hard time replacing them, and we will never win 15 games again. Yeah. And we'll probably, this isn't about you. It's about football. Teams that are the one seed twice in a 5-year span, twice in a 7-year span, minimal once you take away a team like the Chiefs or Patriots with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get that once in a decade, you've done something right.
Yeah.
You may never get it again. Go ahead, David.
Bingo, that's exactly what it was. He couldn't get them across the finish line and maybe never get this close again, and he knew they were leaving. I believe that.
All right, so at least there's one other human who feels what I feel.
I'm at a 3. I think having the players we do helps, but I am definitely a little bit concerned. My concern level is at a 0. The core of this team is still there. They are not going to forget how to play football.
It's not what it's about. That's okay. You're new at this. You'll catch up. You'll be all right, Sparky. No, it's just you can tell people have no idea what they're talking about.
They don't.
A concern level of 0 doesn't exist.
In all fairness, these are probably the same people who didn't think that the Commanders could ever win this game.
That's what I'm saying. Like
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, to me, Dan Campbell knew this was not the speech I was supposed to be giving. This is I've let Detroit down. I've let this team down. I've let myself down because we just squandered the best opportunity that Detroit has ever had. Now, it's not to say that you can't ever get it back again, but going 15-2 doesn't grow on trees.
No.
So, yeah, everything was going to go. It was aligned perfectly. You never had to play outside. You were going straight to the Dome in New Orleans. And instead, you're watching your staff get picked apart. Now it looks like a Thanksgiving Day turkey carcass just getting picked apart.
And to your point, someone is
Xavier Legette, never change, buddy. Thank you, Xavier.
To your point, Rico, what you just said, someone's texting this in. Dan Campbell kept referencing the core players of the team would be here next year. That leads me to think He absolutely knew his staff was gone, and it would look different next season.
Big time. Staff's going to be gone. And I think there's more changes to the personnel than people realize. But we don't need to have those conversations today because that's going to unfold in real time.
Man.
What?
Well, we knew it was coming, but just to see it.
Breaking news at this hour, Adam Schefter is tweeting out. New coach in New York, the Jets are hiring former Detroit Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn as their new head coach. Per sources, the former 1994 first-round pick of the Jets became a personnel scout for the team, now is becoming their head coach. The Jets have now hired 7 head coaches since the end of the 2000 season, and with Aaron Glenn, 6 of them have been first-time head coaches. With defensive backgrounds, Herm Edwards, Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, Todd Bowles, Robert Saleh, and now Glenn. The lone exception was Adam Gase. Was he the one with the bizarre bug-eyed press conference to take over when he got that job? So there you go. It's according to Adam Schefter, it's happened. Aaron Glenn is now the next head coach of the New York Jets. So the beginning of the pillaging starts with the coordinators. Question is, does it keep going or is that it?
I hope that's it. I don't want to hear that Fraley's gotten a job to be the offensive coordinator with Seattle. I don't want to hear that Ben Johnson's taking Mark Brunell or Tanner Engstrand with him. I don't want to hear that. We're already losing Terrell Williams, defensive line coach. He's going to the Patriots to be their DC. I hope Aaron Glenn doesn't poach one of the assistants here. I wish him well. I really do. I like Aaron Glenn a ton. It's going to be tough to win with the Jets. He's got a great – he can work wonders with the defense, and they've got some good players on defense, but offensively,
yeah,
you have no quarterback. Unless Aaron Rodgers wants to come back, do you even want him back? I mean, do the Jets really want to deal with that?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
But the problem is, here's the, like we just said, 5 1-and-dones in the last 4 years. You're not guaranteed 2 years anymore. You're not guaranteed 4 years. You don't get to put a plan in place. It's almost like you're expected to win right away or there's a chance you're going to be gone. And so you got to decide, is it a rookie? Is it a free agent? Or do I go with this dude? Because this dude's a absolute, I mean, he is a distraction personified. But is he the best you can get to win in year one? And that's a fair question.
Right, because you're right. Now it is about you got to win that first year, which is totally unfair, particularly if you're admitting that you're rebuilding. Mm-hmm. How can you keep doing that? That's completely unfair. I want him to get a legit shot.
I do too.
I think he's going to be a good guy for that team, for that franchise, but they got to trust him.
I'm going to be really intrigued to hear what Aaron Glenn has to say so we can talk about what Ben Johnson had to say and what Aaron Glenn has to say. Ben Johnson, what's clear is, in talking to the people, it's the anybody but the Bears job. You didn't have to take the Bears job. Why'd you take the Bears job? But he took the Bears job, right? So that's a fact. He's the head coach of a division rival. And that sucks because, as callers have put it, we can't really root for him now, nor do we want to root for him now. We wish you the worst of luck, which feels mean spirited, but it's he's in the division. But Aaron Glenn, it's like, I hope he does well.
Is he going to take shots at Mike Vrabel now?
Yeah, he's going to enjoy beating Mike McDaniel twice a year. Is he going to say something like that?
Good luck, Frabes.
Right? Yeah, first of all, we're getting texting already, Doug, and it is the opposite of Ben Johnson. People are like, good luck to Aaron Glenn. You know, hey, great guy, great coach. We wish you nothing but the best. Yep. Ben Johnson, we hate you. Go away.
Well, the thing is, Ben Johnson, I don't know that Ben Johnson, unfortunately, should really care all that much.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe they just needed 2 Aarons on the Jets, Gator, with Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Glenn.
So, but here's the other thing. Do you think it's just us, or do you think most people have had it with Aaron Rodgers?
I think most people have.
So he can go there and he can immediately fire one of the most disliked people in the game? Like,
I think the owner would probably give him the approval to. If you want to move on from him, move on from him. I think it would be awesome if they brought back Zach Wilson.
Dude.
Zach Wilson had a better win percentage there than Aaron Rodgers did.
That's actually pretty amusing.
It's factual. Just spitting out facts.
I know.
Sorry, people.
That's your guy.
Man, you found a way to bring him back.
Work with my man, Aaron Glenn.
Don't you want Aaron Glenn to be successful?
Yeah, he can be successful with this guy. A reclamation project.
Because we have no idea who his quarterback coach or offensive coordinator is?
Hey.
You would have it?
Yep. Hey. Hey.
Can't argue with
it. You cannot argue with
it. Can't argue with it. I don't know how to respond to that.
Oh, just don't bring back Sam Darnold. Don't do that.
I know, right? That's the other guy.
But even if there's anybody that knows not to bring back Sam Darnold, it's the guy that beat him twice this year and had him completely rattled. Hey, coach, what do you think about bringing back Sam Darnold? Come on. That player is not coming back.
The thing about that player is he sucks.
Yeah. The thing about that player is he can't get the job done.
That's hysterical. Well, we'll see what happens now, because the question becomes, does he raid the staff? Do either of these guys raid the staff?
Well, and can they only raid the staff for a coordinator, right? I don't know if they can raid them for just bringing a position coach to be their position coach.
No, they can.
Unless the contract is up.
Well, they can give him the old assistant head coach title.
Can they?
That's the workaround, yeah. That's the workaround.
Well, if they give him an assistant head coach title, does that mean we get another draft pick? Or is that only for coordinators becoming head coaches?
I think it's only for coordinators becoming head coaches. Mike Garofalo saying, among strong candidates to join Aaron Glenn's staff with the Jets is former Arizona head coach and Panthers interim head coach Steve Wilks. But Wilks was a defensive-minded guy. Yep. So that doesn't. I think we're more concerned about him poaching an offensive coach to become his OC. But we'll see. We will see. And now Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have some work to do.
Yeah, well, now they officially know. I mean, like, they've been working on it for a while, I'm sure. But they now it's official that both coordinators are gone. You need a new defensive line coach. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it may be real simple. May just say, hey, Coach Shepard, congratulations, you're in the DC. Tanner Engstrom, congratulations, you're our new offensive coordinator.
What about
Mark Brunell, you're our new offensive coordinator. I don't know.
If things don't work
out. Scotty Montgomery.
With whoever they hire as offensive coordinator. And we talk about our scenario.
I already know what you're going to say.
Who doesn't survive the division? Troy Lyons select or hire Matt LaFleur to be their offensive coordinator.
That would be funny.
Bring it full circle.
Yeah.
It would be amusing.
The possibilities.
Just get it right. Still got a ton of talent. That's the most important thing. And they still have an elite general manager that can continue to stock the roster.
It would be nice. If
Michigan native Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, let's stop the bleeding here, right?
Yeah.
Stop the pilfering. Stop the rating of the staff.
Do you think the rating's done? Are we going to lose Fraley?
I mean, I always get nervous when you hear about a second interview.
Mm-hmm.
That's real. And I don't know. It's an offensive line coach that gets that position. And, you know, Seattle's got weapons to work with offensively, too. At times, they look great. And other times, like, they can't even get a yard. They've got some pretty good running backs there. They've got a mobile quarterback. And they've got outstanding receivers. Having an offensive line coach take over that team, I think, might be a really good idea for him.
Yep.
You know, I'll tell you, Rico's insulting. All right, 248-539. Hey, hold on. I still owe you one from our pre-show meeting a couple weeks ago. Remember? What was it? The colonizer comment.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you made up for it today.
Oh, bull.
You did.
Now listen.
He handed me his wallet.
Oh, stop it. That is ridiculous. Can we please move on? David, ticket text, and then I want to get to the people. But look, your level of concern, Aaron Glenn's Jets coach, report a few minutes ago, it may be Kelvin Shepard going with him to be the DC. That means you will have lost your OC. You will have lost your D-line coach, your linebacker coach, your DC. And it sounds like you could lose one of your QB or O-line. Guys, your level of concern. Because my concern resides with this. I like Jared Goff more than many of you. But I am not going to get on the air and lie to you. Losing Ben Johnson, my biggest concern in all of this is no one will be able to match what Ben Johnson got out of Goff. What Ben Johnson did for Goff, Sean McVay couldn't do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, any slippage in Goff, I think that takes you out of a Super Bowl picture. Now, can you rebuild it? Could it get better over time? Could the defense somehow, could there be this pendulum swing to the defense now all of a sudden? They carry the, anything is possible. It's sports. But my concern, I'm with Rico. I'm a 3.5 or a 4 out of 5. You are having to rebuild almost your entire staff.
See, I'm at least a solid 4 because it's just going to take a lot. And I know people are going to say, well, they got the culture. The culture is going to get tested this offseason. The culture is going, Dan Campbell is going to have to work magic to get everything back in place to keep this thing going, to find people who can relate to the players, especially Jared Goff and that offense, because if you're Dan Campbell, do you try to get Ben Johnson 2.0 or do you just try to get the best offensive coordinator, which may bring in a different offense? But will Jared Goff like that offense? Like, there's so many different moving parts, and I've seen it happen before. That's why I say you could bring in this great OC and him and Goff just butts heads, and it doesn't work.
David, a couple of ticket texts, and I'm going to get right to the people. And yes, we'll have a Goff discussion. Or maybe Rico, maybe yours is the appropriate one, that it's kind of the last stop before we look forward. Your question about Saturday versus last year against the Niners, maybe that's where we go to. I actually don't mind that. My topic sucks. Rock, paper, scissors, 248. All right, David, go.
Let's ask AI. Wow. Probably a loser take, but I feel like next season is a quote-unquote figure bleep out year. New coordinators, tough schedule, defensive players needing a year to recover, learn new system. At a 3, though, because I can definitely see a path where having a bad year derails everything. That's from Jimmy.
Jimmy, you don't get a year sabbatical in the NFL. You don't get a figure year out. That ship is gone. So if you take this year to figure things out, you're going to get lapped, and a new team's going to take over and be the king of the North. A new team's going to take over and be that team. It won't be you. You got to figure this thing out. You got to make it work. Not just figure it out. It has to work because your window is starting to close. I know you don't want to hear that. You want to think you're going to be a dynasty like the Patriots and a dynasty like the Chiefs. Doesn't work that way in the NFL. Most teams have about a 3-year window.
You're about to hit
year 3.
I'm at a year. I'm at a 2 out of 5. Ultimately, this team begins and ends with Dan Campbell. The roster has a lot of core pieces and playmakers in place. My concern level is a 0. I would take Aiden Hutchinson over Aaron Glenn any day.
Okay. You know what? It's fine. It's fine. It's not worth getting upset over. They just don't know anything about anything. So cool. You just let them do what they want. I mean, this is why there's a ticket text. Think about it. You're thumbing takes into your phone. I mean, I'm great.
Okay. Not everybody, because some people give us great ticket texts. So we're not going to generalize.
Okay.
Not going to generalize, because some people give us great ticket texts. You keep up the great ones, and you know, show us that you do have a mind out there, people.
Thanks, Dad.
Someone says, I'm at a 5. It's DEFCON level 5 for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Another person says, I heard AI Wojo is actually showing up today. That is from Sid in Ann Arbor.
If you could replace someone at this station with AI, it would be Bob. It would just be a collection of sound effects and disgusting potato chips.
Hey!
Right. I'm done. And throw in a Happy New Year. You wouldn't even know Bob's not here.
Well.
Yeah, go ahead. Say it. Don't worry. I'm not going to judge you.
No, I was just going to ask about the Doughboy. Could he still do the Doughboy bit with the caller?
No, that's still creepy. Don't think we ever need to recreate
that. Not even AI.
Let's go to Vaughn 97.1. What's up, Vaughn? How you doing?
Hey, Mike, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I am calling to ring the alarm. It is a level 5, and I can intelligently articulate why.
Okay.
This year, you humiliated people. Trick plays, we're running up the score, went over 50 a couple times. You did a Pearl Harbor job on the league. And now this is the Godfather Part 3 helicopter scene where everybody's getting murdered and the only person making it out is the Don. So next year, the league, when you look at a map of Southeast Michigan, it's going to say Nagasaki. It is. The league is going to bring the funk next year. And will you have the ability to withstand that over an entire season?
Yeah.
I know you got talent. I know you got grit. And you got the macho man with the headset on. But at some point, you need some leadership on the coaching level. You need somebody that can pull these guys out of a funk when they're in there. You know what I'm saying? Am I making sense?
Yeah, you are. No, look, I think you're okay. Bringing up something that only fan bases of a team that has won or has won the ultimate prize understand. The hardest thing to do is not just get good, it's stay good. Yeah. And teams, it's not always linear. I mean, we've seen the Niners take a step back. We saw the Eagles become a train wreck after appearing in a Super Bowl. This is the norm, right? Yeah. Like, hey, remember the Jaguars got good, won a playoff game. Everybody thought, wow, this is their time. Ready? Dead. Like,
but he's got a point here because the Lions, believe it or not, you become that circle game that people remember what you did to them.
Well, you had all your fun with the pitchy woo woos and we're throwing touchdowns to fat people. Oh, and I get it. But he's not wrong.
No, I didn't think of it like that, but you're right. Yeah.
And think back to when they tried to make up for the call. The ref blew the call about the offensive lineman checking in. They spent 2 games running that play.
Well, there's a level of pettiness. I mean, Vaughn, look, what you have said is the truth, which is the Lions don't just want to beat you. They want to embarrass you. They've made that abundantly clear. Now, with Ben Johnson being one of those evil geniuses being gone, and Aaron Glenn, who, look, last I checked, as bad as that defense ended the season, they finished the league 7th in points per game defensively. Okay, you're losing 2 elite coordinators. So now you're right. Does the mindset change? Vaughn, I would tell you, I hope it changes. I'd like to see more of a business-like approach. Sure, it's fun when you hit Dallas with a garbage can. But in the big picture of things, part of what got them in trouble is that idea, we don't just want to win, we want to embarrass you, we want to kill you. Mm-hmm. Look at how they approach the Commander game. It's got to be more businesslike. Because you're right, people are, if they see just a speck of blood, yeah, man, the Sharks are swimming. And I do believe, all jokes aside, that I know, Rico, you called it the Big 12. 3 playoff teams came from this division with a record of 40-11. And the team that didn't make it just had the best hire of the cycle, your OC. So, yeah, I'm with Vaughn on that. I'm not going to go to a 5.
Still the Big 12, though.
Okay. Kenny, I tried. You know what? Kenny's judging you. It's not even me.
Kenny's not judging me. It was a lot of empty calories.
All right. But
best division in football.
Okay, what division's better? Come on, be serious.
Well, look, as of right now, it looks like the NFC East.
So what? So the playoff success nullifies that 2 of the worst teams in football reside in the East? That's all. I mean, every week in this division, you can get popped. You can't say that about the East. The Giants couldn't go to the bathroom in the toilet.
Okay.
Ended up on the floor every day.
But somebody from the East is going to be in the Super Bowl.
I understand. Okay.
They didn't win a game between the Packers and the Vikings and the Lions.
I'm aware.
And you racked up all of these wins.
I lived it. In fact, every day here with you.
Very Big 12-ish.
Okay. Let me know when he's done, David.
It's not just me. You know who else said it?
Go ahead.
AI.
Stop it.
John, you want to talk about Aaron Glenn leaving and just how important this hire is now for Dan Campbell?
Yeah, because everybody is, a lot of people early on were very concerned about this offense. And when Ben Johnson leaves, because it was so much fun, it was so dynamic, it was so explosive, could it possibly be the same? And now that we're faced with replacing both coordinators, The defense, you know, let's face it, it wasn't great. A lot of it was due to injury. It wasn't sexy. But I do believe, for a lot of the reasons that we've talked about, that the defensive coordinator hire is the biggest hire that Dan Campbell is going to make. Dan is going to have his hands and his fingerprints all over the offense. And I thought Tom brought up an actually great point yesterday. I don't think it happens, but it is possible that Dan says, you know what, with as much as I've learned and I've grown as a coach, I'm going to be the play caller. And he could promote Hank Fraley to offensive coordinator, but it would be Dan Campbell calling the plays on game day. I don't know that I like it, but it could be a possibility. So defensively, I think there is – this defense has been built to this point, and we heard from Dan Campbell. He wants a guy that's going to be aggressive. He's going to play a lot of man coverage. That's the style of defense he wants to pair with his offense. So does that eliminate Robert Saleh? And I know with the Jets, he developed some more tendencies with man coverage, but he also had Sauce Gardner. I don't know that he would look at this defense and say, you know, if Carlton Davis, you know, is back, Amik Robertson, you know, and the entire group back there, that he has the same playmakers that he had with the Jets to go man. Now he may look at the pass rush with Za'Darius, and he may get some assurances from Brad Holmes that we're gonna add a pass rusher, whether it's in free agency or in the draft, or we're gonna add a defensive tackle. I know there was a conversation yesterday had because of the whole Mel Kiper draft, first mock draft that came out. They were doing the, these guys are left on the board. Who do you want? A lot of people were talking about Kenneth Grant. I'm not going to go that far yet, but you could add a defensive tackle alongside Aleem McNeil. DJ Reader's only 1 year contract.
Yep.
But without getting too far in the weeds in terms of the personnel, you're going to get Hutch back. You're going to get a lot of these guys back healthy. I think the defensive coordinator hire, because the offense is still going to be a top-level offense, you've got to be able to have a defense that complements it. And I'm not talking, you don't have to have, it would be great to have a top five defense paired with a top five offense. You're talking about, hey, look out. But who are some of the candidates, and does it fit with Dan Campbell's leadership style in regards to, Aaron Glenn, we know he's a strong personality. He's also knows exactly what he wants to do on defense. They work together previously, so they knew that they could work together here. But when you hire a strong personality and it's somebody that you haven't worked with before, it doesn't always work out.
The defensive coordinator hire is so important. I think there's a chance they promote internally offensively. Do you want to have two first-time coordinators? Probably not. I would be curious to see who's on Dan Campbell's list of external candidates. You know, one that really stands out to me is Dennis Allen. And I know what you're saying. Wait, wasn't that rumored to be Ben Johnson's defensive coordinator? Well, if the ink isn't dry, and it's not, they interviewed Aubrey Pleasant for their defensive coordinator job yesterday. I don't know if that's a Rooney Rule requirement or if it's serious consideration. Either way, Dan Campbell could say, Dennis Allen worked with me in New Orleans. Dennis Allen was Aaron Glenn's boss with the New Orleans Saints. They had four straight years of a top 10 defense. Not a good head coach, Dennis Allen, but a very good defensive coordinator. That would be great. Hey, Ben, you're not entitled to Dennis Allen. I've worked with him longer. Our team's better. Dennis, who do you want to coach for? I think that would be a really interesting move.
I think it would be. We talk about the rivalry that is between, obviously, Chicago and Detroit, but it's also going to be amped up a little bit more because your OC is now their head coach. And could this be a steal? All right. You thought you were going to get down at Dennis Allen? Not so fast, my friend. All of a sudden, hey, he's in Detroit. And I think that would be very interesting. Dennis Allen would definitely be on the list. I think he's got to be interviewed. And Kelvin Shepard will certainly, he's been living this interview for the past, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a guy that would be at the top of the list as well if you're going to promote from within. There's a couple other guys. We talked about Robert Saleh. And I'm curious your thoughts first before I got two more guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the Saleh thing. Is he the lead candidate? It's the guy most people are talking about because, hey, Dearborn native,
yeah.
You know, obviously from the area.
Interviewed for the head coaching job along with Dan Campbell, didn't get it.
There's a couple things. One, Saleh, when he was the DC with the Niners, they hardly ever blitzed. I mean, they had Bosa, they had a great D-line, right. Bunch of first-rounders they didn't necessarily need to. They also didn't blitz a lot in New York. It's not a bad thing. It's just philosophically a little different in addition to being a little more of a zone guy historically, recently a man coverage guy. He also may get a head coaching job. Like Jacksonville is a disaster, yeah. But they finally fire Trent Baalke and they need someone to take that job. Sure, Saleh, I think for a lot of people, is the lead candidate. Dennis Allen, someone to watch. Aaron Glenn, officially the Jets head coach. The Lions will have to replace both the offensive and defensive coordinators. And John, you have said that defensive coordinator hire is more important. It's the hire for Dan Campbell. We've thrown out some names. You got a few more you want to mix in.
Well, yeah, and part of the reason, they're going to operate a little bit more independently than the offensive coordinator will. So you're going to have to trust a little bit more that the guy that you bring in is going to be the leader that you need him to be defensively. He's going to have the concepts that you want to have defensively and also going to, is going to be productive defensively. So we talked about Calvin Shepard on the as an internal hire promotion. Dennis Allen, who's a guy that he's worked with in New Orleans, has head coaching experience, has been very productive as a defensive coordinator. Robert Saleh, same thing. The other two guys, and brace yourself.
Oh, boy.
There's a guy who interviewed this year for the Colts defensive coordinator job, Cincy's defensive coordinator job, Atlanta. It's been reported that he's interviewed for both all three of those. Did not get it. Wink Martindale.
Man coverage, aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, it could fit. Now, the question is going to be, would he fit temperament-wise? And because he's a very...
Surly?
Surly is
that's a polite word.
Great way to put it. And maybe that's what you need.
Yeah.
Is a surly individual that's, headstrong, stubborn, going to get it done. Now, he obviously got it done later in the year for Michigan than he did early on in the year. It took a little bit of an adjustment on his part, knowledge of the players. And so that's a name that he may consider interviewing. The other one was in division. Bad head coach.
Oh, no.
Calls a good defense. Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
And it's you can't argue with what he did as the DC for the Indianapolis Colts when he was the DC there. So that's what got him the job as the head coach for the Bears. Now, again, weirdo as a head coach. In-game decisions, clock management, all that's not great as a head coach. I've mentioned this before where I've been around guys that have been really good coordinators, and everybody eventually finds their level that they can rise to. And everybody wants to test the next level to see if, hey, can I be a head coach? Can I be a coordinator? Some are position coaches, some are coordinators, and some are head coaches. He's not a head coach. He is a good coordinator.
You're right. I mean, it's a completely different skill set. Maybe people don't realize this. Like, Dan Campbell was never a coordinator. Clearly a leader of men.
Yeah.
Clearly knows football, knows motivation. Head coach. I don't know. People wonder, is Ben Johnson going to be Adam Gase 2.0? Is he a coordinator, not a coach? A lot of these guys fail for a variety of reasons. Yeah. And it doesn't mean they don't know football. Like, Dennis Allen is not a good head coach. He's failed with the Raiders and the Saints, but he runs a defense. Robert Saleh. It's weird what happened with the Jets, but I think we know he's a good defensive coordinator, even if he's not a good head coach. And could you make that same argument for Eberflus? I suppose you could. I just remember when he was the DC with the Colts, which was where he was before he was with Chicago. A lot of zone. I don't have the numbers, but I remember them being a zone-heavy team. It would feel like Dan Campbell would be handing the keys to his defense to someone who wants to do something very different. I don't see him doing that.
Again, the best coaches are the ones that will be able to use the talent that they are given and adjust their concepts, still, being true to themselves, but adjust their concepts to the players that they are coaching on the roster. And would it be too much of a shift for him? Is Dan Campbell, even though he said, yeah, we want to run more man coverage, but we also need to be a little bit better when we do run zone.
Correct.
Is there a sweet spot? Is there a mix? I think Dennis Allen is the best mix.
I do too. Do you think he has already spoken for that? It's a matter of you think he's very much available?
Oh, 100%. If he was spoken for, he would be. If he was spoken for in Detroit, in Chicago, he'd already be there.
Mm-hmm. And again, they interviewed Aubrey Pleasant yesterday. If I was Dan Campbell, you'd have a direct connection. You were on staff with Dennis Allen in New Orleans. He was the DC when Dan Campbell was on staff under Sean Payton when Aaron Glenn was there. The familiarity with one another.
The division.
Because
you can't necessarily argue. I mean, Chicago has had a good defense. And Chicago's defense has given Detroit some fits.
At times, yeah. Yeah, I would tell Dennis Allen, hey, it's your choice, bud. You can coach the Bears who were in last place, or you can coach the Lions who were in first place.
One seed.
Where do you want to coach?
And you could come in and after a guy in Aaron Glenn, who you got to believe some of the concepts are going to be very similar because, you know, Aaron Glenn, yeah, he played, he's got his own concepts, but he also, you know, coached under Dennis Allen. So is it possible that you just get the OG?
Dennis Allen's defenses, just to put some numbers on it. In 2016, the Saints were 31st in points allowed. 2017, they went to 10, 14, 13, and then 5, 4, 9, 8. Top 10, four straight years there at the end. This guy gets the most out of his defense. That's all we're talking about here. I'm not asking Dennis Allen to game plan the entire opponent throughout the week. I'm not asking him to lead the team. I just need him to run the defense. That to me would be my number one candidate. I know Robert Saleh's the local guy. I certainly wouldn't be disappointed.
No,
but those are guys I think we're talking about here.
Do you also is there concern that he would go with the comfortable hires and that the comfortable hire would be Dennis Allen defensively and Pete Carmichael Jr. offensively? A couple of guys that he worked with in New Orleans. Now they did have success.
Yeah.
And in their respective positions as coordinators, but would you be concerned that he'd be too familiar that he would be going safe with the comfortable and safe choice?
I think that's a fair criticism. I do, but I think they're a 15-win football team. It's not like they want to reinvent the wheel either. I think you want guys you can trust. I think you want guys that you're on the same page with. You don't want to take a step back. You don't want to have to reintroduce concepts that are foreign to the team. If you want to sprinkle some wrinkles in, I think that's healthy. Campbell spoke about that. Some tweaks will naturally happen with just new people calling the plays. You know, they may have a preference on a second and long that's slightly different than the previous guy. I think some of that will naturally happen. What I don't think you want to do is go way outside yourself.
Right.
For the sake of being different when you're a 15-win football team and you've built a hell of a staff and a philosophy and a mentality. So I think that would be a criticism I just wouldn't feel that way.
I wouldn't feel that way either. And honestly, I mean, familiarity, I think, does breed success. When you know, when Pete Carmichael Jr., if he would be the guy offensively, is very familiar with Dan Campbell, and I think that communication would be very important of this is what I want. Let's get back on task. Let's refocus. Let's get back to what we know this offense is. I think that's an easy conversation to have. I also think that would be an easy conversation to have with Dennis Allen. Hey, this is why I hired you. This is what you are. This is the directive of what I want done.
I think Dennis Allen would be a great candidate. I think that if you rank the guys right now, it's Robert Saleh, who's probably going to become a head coach, and then Dennis Allen. And because Dennis Allen to me is the defensive coordinator version of a Norv Turner, who was a great offensive coordinator, but wasn't a good head coach. I think Dennis Allen has acquired that. He's kind of gone under the radar because of the teams he's been with. But I actually think, I know Jim, you scoffed a little at Eberflus, that maybe that's what Eberflus is. He's just a really good DC, but he's not head coaching material.
Mm-hmm.
I threw this name out to John, and I think it's a total pipe dream. But he didn't dismiss the idea, at least at its core, of terms of his coaching talent. What if Pete Carroll doesn't get a head coaching job? He wants back in the game so much. I just wonder if he doesn't get a head coaching job, if that kind of ego could settle for this. But you saw it with Chip Kelly in college. He just said, screw it.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to be an OC.
Okay. If you're doing that, then why not interview Bill Belichick for defensive coordinator?
No, because he's a head coach right now. What I'm saying is Chip Kelly said, screw it. He wanted in the game so much, but he just wanted to be a coach. He just wanted to coach. You're not being as nice about this as you were off the air. I'm a swinger, man. I swing for fences.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
There's a drop for you.
Can I go on the cruise with you next month? It's contagious.
This is my square.
Is it contagious?
No stone unturned.
Clearly.
I would pay Robert Saleh ridiculous money like the Bucks did with Liam Cohen yesterday and just say, come be our DC.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Dave in Berkeley, you've heard this conversation. Where are you at?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Love the Pete Carroll idea. Hadn't even considered that. Great energy guy. But for me, it's Robert Saleh 100%. Dennis Allen, number two. I hate the idea of hiring from within only because I feel like I don't need him surrounded by yes men. I feel like Dan Campbell makes a lot of risky, stubborn, and frankly dumb decisions, and he needs somebody that can stand up next to him and kind of keep him in check.
Yes, the more feedback, the more input that you have of guys that have been in that decision-making process. Dennis Allen, obviously, as a head coach, been in that decision-making process. Pete Carroll, same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we need more brains, less balls.
Getting back to Pete Carroll, you would have to, if Pete Carroll can come to the realization that he's not going to get another head coaching job, and whether it's he's too old or somebody just doesn't want to go down that route and they want to make a commitment to a guy that they think is going to be there for 5-6 years. Pete Carroll's in great health. He might be able to do that. They just don't want to deal with him. And if he can come to the realization that, okay, that is not who I'm going to be, but I want to be back in the game. I want to be coaching. I want to have fun again. I am missing what makes me who I am, and that's a football coach. If he has that desire and he could come in and you could get some assurances that, hey, you're not going to be undermining me with the media, you're not going to be undermining me with anything else, then I would kick the tires on it. I don't know that I love that, though.
Look, there's a lot of names floating around, and Campbell said he's not going to be in a hurry. He wants to do this the right way.